Our second reading this morning is from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 1 through 6, 11 through 16, and 30 through 31. The word of the Lord came to me. Mortal, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, you shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost. But with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth, with no one to search or seek for them. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. I will feed them with justice. They shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. And I am your God, says the Lord God. This is the word of the Lord. So, this week I decided to write my sermon from the perspective of a sheep. Yep. The members of our flock come in all shapes and sizes, but we're a good lot. My mother named me Maple, like maple syrup, because she hoped I'd be sweet, and I am a proud great-great-great-great-granddaughter of Lance Corporal Darby the 30th. I know, but it's okay, you don't have to salute. Since my Aunt Mary had her little baby lamb this past spring, Tweedle, there's been 100 of us. But sometimes I think the shepherd counts us as 99, because Tweedle follows Mary so close and is so scared of everything around him that sometimes he tries to hide underneath his mom. It hasn't worked so well since his last growth spurt, though. We sheep don't exactly have the longest of legs, you know? Everywhere that my Aunt Mary goes, Cousin Tweedle is right there beside her. But we're good sheep, and our shepherd always wants to spend time with us. We're funny, and we're smart, and we throw great parties. And sometimes, some of us younger sheep would stay up all night talking, but then that old party pooper Methuselina will march over and say, "Excuse me, but it is past your bedtime, and some of us are trying to sleep here." Killjoy. We always have such a wonderful time together, though. We always share the clover and all of the best herbs and forbs, and when it's cold, we all huddle up together to keep warm. Every now and then, the shepherd will bring a new sheep to join us, and I happen to think that we are very welcoming. It shouldn't be our fault that they don't always want to do the things we've always done. But they keep each other company, so it's fine. I mean, we always manage to have a great time, but if they're too good for us, well, that's their problem. They'll realize they need us someday. It's a great life being a sheep. You would not believe the fun we had last fall when Rambo had his bat mitzvah. Even old Whitebeard joined in the singing and dancing, and despite not being able to communicate with us, I'm pretty sure the shepherd was toasting Rambo. Although she missed most of the party when she fell asleep with her pillow over her head. We're a family, we sheep. And if I do say so myself, we are the best family around. I mean, there's a herd of sheep a couple hills over, and I just can't even believe the way they act. They're always covered in mud, and the way they just ignore their little ones because they're too busy running. Well, anyway, I'm glad I'm not one of them. You can't trust those kinds of sheep. But I guess not everyone can be like us. Anyway, let me tell you the story of Doug, the weird sheep. My older sister Dolly always tells me that I shouldn't call sheep weird. Whatever, Dolly. She's such a nag. It's like she's a clone of our mother, I swear. Doug's mother was one of the sheep who was brought in from a different flock, and I'm not saying that we didn't include him, but he did spend a lot of time on his own, looking lost in thought. Who did he think he was? A philosopher? For goat's sake, Doug, we're sheep! One afternoon, the sky started to turn darker, and the shepherd started to gather us together and herd us back to shelter before it rained. And boy, what rain! I'd never seen anything like it. It rained and the winds blew, and in between strikes of lightning, I saw the shepherd trying to count us. She got to 99 and then came over to my Aunt Mary and me, but Tweedle was standing on his own for once. The shepherd bent down to make sure there were no other little lambs trying to hide between an older sheep's legs. But I saw the look on the shepherd's face when she realized that there were, in fact, only 99 sheep, and one of us was missing. The littlest ones, who had never seen a storm at all before, started crying, and we all drew together into a huddle, even the sheep from the other flocks, and everyone started talking at once. With so much going on, no one saw the shepherd leave. It took some time to account for everyone, but eventually we figured out who was missing and we all groaned. Of course it was Doug. Goat darn it, Doug. Every time there's a sheep left behind, it's you. Why couldn't he just be like us? And now the shepherd had gone off and left the rest of us all alone in this storm. I mean, sure, we had each other and we'd been brought to shelter, and the shepherd had left both of her dogs with us to keep an eye out for predators, and we had a fire going in the pit that the shepherd had made, but what were we supposed to do? The storm beat on, and as afternoon turned to evening, some of us made the best of the situation and tried to get some sleep. But worry kept me awake. Was it our fault that Doug always kept to himself? No, of course it wasn't. We never told him he couldn't hang out with us. He could have come over if he'd wanted to. When we got new sheep, we always told them that everyone was welcome to eat with us, and Doug should have figured out that we meant him too. But we'd never made space for him in the circle. No, he could have asked us to let him in. I hope he never heard us making fun of him, calling him a bug and a lug and a slug and a shrug, that weird sheep Doug. But we only talked about him when he wasn't there, so that couldn't have been it. Sure, his mother was kind of an outsider still. She'd only been with our flock for 8 years, But his father was one of ours, so it's not like he was born an outsider, you know? What were we supposed to do? Form a committee to find out how to make a sheep welcome every time the shepherd brought in someone new? Wear name tags until they learned all of our names? Who has time for that? All for the benefit of one or two new sheep every summer? But still, something at the back of my mind wouldn't let me fall asleep, even as the rain slowed down and the stars began to shine. I think I was the only one awake to see the shepherd approach on the horizon before the dogs started barking to announce her arrival. In the very, very early morning light, I saw the shepherd carrying Doug over her shoulders. The shepherd looked exhausted. Of course, she'd clearly been up all night searching for Doug in the rain and the dark. Her braid was dripping water still, and now that they were closer, I thought Doug looked like he'd been crying. The shepherd laid Doug down near the fire so they could both warm up, and the weird sheep let out a cry of pain. His leg was broken. She made soothing noises, or maybe she spoke to him, but if humans can talk, we sheep can't understand them. She took a sturdy stick and tore a strip of muddy fabric off the bottom of her robe, binding up Doug's leg and scratching behind his ear, then brought him a handful of grass and forbs and waited until he'd eaten his fill before she slumped, exhausted, against her pack and pulled out some bread and dried fish for herself. And she had done all of that for the weird sheep. Was he really worth that much? As the weeks went on, and Doug's leg was still healing, he couldn't have joined our circle of conversation, even if he'd wanted to. But as I wondered more and more about why the shepherd had risked her own life to rescue Doug and bring him back to the flock, I quietly suggested to the others that maybe we should bring the circle to him. It took him some time to open up to us. Maybe he was worried we were only being nice because we felt sorry for him. Maybe we were. But the flock rallied around him, and eventually he realized that we weren't going to leave him. I mean, the shepherd clearly thought he was valuable and important after all. He told us about the night of the storm, how he had wandered off and didn't hear the shepherd or her dogs calling us together. All of us vowed to ourselves that in the future, we would be extra careful to pay attention to the shepherd and to stay close to her. He told us, his voice full of awe, about how patiently the shepherd had pulled him out of the mud and carried him back. Wow. The shepherd was like a superhero. The littlest lambs especially declared that they wanted to be just like her when they grew up. After all, if a human could be that heroic, how hard could it be for a sheep? They began to talk about who they could rescue. It didn't rain hard again that season, though, so there was no one to pull out of the mud, and the dogs kept the wolves away. Tweedle especially began to wail that he'd never get to be a hero if there was no one to rescue. That spring, we said goodbye to Methuselina and Whitebeard, who died of old age, and to Strawberry, who didn't survive giving birth to her little lamb, Snuggle. When Doug was able to walk comfortably again, we started making room for him in the circle, without even thinking about it. One day in the summer, the shepherd brought two new sheep to join our numbers. As the shepherd sat down for her midday meal, the new sheep stood awkwardly in the field, shy around so many new faces. But then Tweedle, who had grown by now, jogged over to them to introduce himself and to show them the best spots for grasses. At first we didn't understand, but then we realized. Tweedle was being a hero by rescuing these two lonely, scared sheep and welcoming them into the fold, and headbutting us into a bigger circle when we forgot to include them. After all, if even that weird sheep, Doug, was precious in the eyes of the shepherd, maybe all of us were. Maybe even these new sheep, too. Maybe it was time to look at every sheep as being precious and treat each sheep with respect. Maybe it was time we learned to really welcome new sheep into the flock and not just introduce ourselves once and then ignore them. Maybe it was time to do a better job of looking out for each other so that we would never lose another sheep again.